All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, we're playing a game that we play all the time, which is stretching the definition of randomization.
Okay.
Something I have always been fascinated with. So what are your thoughts in general, you know, briefly on boat ownership?
I like being on a boat.
Okay.
My dad had a 14-foot like fishing motorboat that I had a lot of very good times with. Actually, he still has it. He just recently rehabbed it and all of that. Owning a boat seems like a horrible nightmare. You've got to find a place to store it. It is incredibly expensive to keep up, and it only gets more and more so as they get bigger and as they get older. So I think the adage goes, a boat is just a hole in the water that you throw money into, which is my general opinion.
That phrasing, as they get bigger, like it's something that just happens.
Yeah.
Like as you get a boat, it will just grow. my favorite thing about boats, the only thing that is appealing to me about boat ownership is naming it.
Okay.
Like you get a car and you can name it, but it's kind of douchey.
You know,
but boats, you name it. You're expected to name a boat. And one of the things I've always loved is the boat naming ritual.
Where you
bust the bottle of wine.
The christening.
Yeah, the christening. So we're down here at the pier. I have written the names of many games on these boats. And here I have many bottles of wine where I've replaced the wine with the active agent in disappearing, reappearing ink.
Mm.
And you're going to choose your favorite boat, christen it, and then it will have the name of the game we're going to do.
I like the idea of forcibly rechristening a boat.
Like you're my son now, like Tim Heidecker.
Just
owning boats.
Just Mormons doing just widespread posthumous baptisms.
Yeah. You get your born again boat, your boat again. Or just born the other way, you know, again, B-O-R-N-E again.
Yeah.
Boats.
Yeah, I got you. I can follow you there. I can't laugh at it, but I can follow you there.
I kind of liked it, but I don't think it was funny. I just kind of felt like good about doing some homonym play.
Yeah, making it, if sometimes it's fun to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anywho, which of these boats catches your eye?
I'm always fond of a houseboat, you know? Although this pontoon boat is really calling my name.
Yeah. We got a fan boat over here. There's a lot of different boats.
Man, there's a lot of really good boats, actually. Yeah. I'm going to stick with this pontoon boat because, I like a nice platform where everybody can get drunk and sunburned.
Yes. and fall off.
Yeah.
no railings, please. Here's a bottle. Go ahead and christen this bad boy and see what game we got.
Smashy, smashy. I can't make it out. It's the dead aim. Oh
yeah, the dead aim. That's a scary name for a boat.
That's a scary, way too scary of a name for a pontoon boat.
Yeah. That's batting above its weight class here, but luckily the game computer is going off.
It's a Resident Evil game. How appropriate.
So it must be good. This is Gary Butterfield and Cole Ross from Abject Suffering with Resident Evil Dead Aim.
What the fuck are you doing? It's been...
No, that's the intro that was demanded.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow, that feels... I mean, who put that in? Because I need to step to them. Matt, hey, Matt, don't fuck with me like that.
Well...
I see my own name.
No.
Mm.
Not anymore.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be off balance the entire episode, and you have deprived everybody of full capacity coal.
Yeah. Get tripped.
Mm.
That was me trying to do this Chef John from Food Wishes voice was the instruction. I don't know if I got it though. Chef John has a very unique cadence.
What is Food Wishes?
Food Wishes.
Oh.
Food Wishes is entirely different. It's a YouTube channel, a cooking show.
Gotcha.
Good recipes on that. We made one from it with the unfortunate name. This is a restaurant.
You know? Okay.
So that's why it's called this, but it's called like Dookie Quick or something like that, like Dookie Quick Chicken or something like that.
No.
And it, yeah, right?
No.
A Dookie Chase. it's a... Right, it's awful, but yeah. It's a Louisiana fried chicken place, and we made chicken with a recipe, and it was good. Yeah,
nice.
We learned the recipe from Chef John from foodwishes.com with he kind of sings everything he says. He's very charming.
Yeah, trying to hypnotize you.
After all, enjoy. Like, he's very a very charming man.
Yeah. Huh. Well, this week we're talking about Resident Evil Dead Aim. This is a cool pick. I wanted to bring a bad horror game for October. Sure. There's so many
of them.
If only
some of them existed. If only that were a thing. Uh-huh. You know, it's just the quality is goddamn through the roof for that genre. Every single one.
Each one is better than the last.
Yeah, boy.
I know. I realize this is very soon after doing Umbrella Corps or whatever it was we did. But Dead Aim is a game that I forgot existed, yeah. And it kind of seemed like not an emergency. What's the opposite of emergency? An inevitability that sure. we would do it. So I figured I would go ahead and bring it. And also, we have done the previous game in this series. We did Resident Evil Survivor,
the Gun Survivor series,
yes,
of Resident Evils. That, like, if we ever did Bonfire Side Chat for Resident Evil and covered just every Resident Evil game, we'd have to force our way through.
Yeah.
There are varying degrees of how much that would suck.
Yes. I've played and beaten the original Resident Evil Survivor, so, like, it's not unbeatable, and I don't remember it being especially good or especially bad.
The first one where you're like, so I played that one too. That's the one I beat.
Yeah,
where you're just, as a kid, you're just fighting tyrant after tyrant. Like,
yes,
tyrants become just a common enemy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is dumb. All of these games, for people who don't know, these are games that in Japan are light gun games.
Mm-hmm.
In America, largely for Columbine reasons, they're not.
Yeah.
So you control them with the PlayStation controller, and thus they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
This one you can control with a mouse, and you could even on the PS2.
Yeah.
Which makes it better than those other ones, but still, this is such a, they're trying to make an idea happen that, like, this is so driving crooner.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. this is such a good idea.
Yeah.
We have to make a Resident Evil where you do something in first person.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And it actually isn't. It wasn't until 7 that they figured it out, and then they made a good game out of this concept.
Yeah. So, like, the thing is, like, this is actually really fascinating, because, like, playing this did actually bring me to, like,
a mouth-watering climax.
Yeah, just toe curling. No, yeah. This did bring me to a little bit of insight into, like, okay, so, like why doesn't this work? And I think it's because survival horror and light gun game are just completely incompatible ideas. They didn't actually succeed until they got rid of exploration and it gave us Umbrella Chronicles, where it is just a rail shooter,
or got rid of the light gun part of it.
Yeah,
Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, and then just gave us first person exploration in actual spaces.
I mean, it's like, I would go one step simpler down the scale and say it's not that they're incompatible. There's no reason to think they would be compatible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you can't just bash two random things together and assume they'll work.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a marker of a lot of kind of shitty games will do that.
Yeah.
You know, and just the fact that they took 4 bites of that apple is nuts to me.
Mm-hmm. Four bites. And then also, what am I seeing here? Dino Stalker.
Yeah. And a Dino Crisis spinoff. Like, you know, and there's just nothing to think that would be a good idea, I think.
Yeah.
They are incompatible in that, like, they're just different modes, but I don't know what... They're incompatible, and also even if they were compatible, what would you get?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what is the thing that would draw you to this if there's nothing drawing you away?
Yeah.
You know, nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not a way that I want to explore these spaces. Until this one, this is the PS2 entry. Mm-hmm. The PS1 entries, because everything had to be in 3D, they looked like absolute dog dick.
Oh, yeah.
These, like, you know, very evocative, interesting, you know, painted spaces that have a lot of detail, which are such a part of Resident Evil, are just out the window, you know,
yeah.
At that level of fidelity, you know, when they couldn't do pre-painted backgrounds. The PS2 version at the very least has higher fidelity and can like look decent.
But you still so you're on a cruise ship and it is the most anonymous cruise ship that has ever been. And that's another thing where this runs athwart, because
it's another
thing,
idea that they just really think has to go somewhere.
It needs to happen. Like, Resident Evil Guide,
it's too good of an idea. Revelations. We got to put Resident Evil on a boat. Yeah. It's the best possible place to put a Resident Evil for some reason that we can't elucidate.
Yeah. And like the thing about Resident Evil is even the hallways, like you can name them. Like if I say the U-shaped hallway, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. This is actually like, I'm not trying to give it away and I'm certainly not trying to create drama in any way. This is actually dovetailing really well with stuff we're going to talk about with Signalis tomorrow, because I don't think we're on the same page with it.
No,
that's a problem I have with Signalis as well, where I don't feel like the hallways are, I feel like that has an anonymity of space issue that makes it work less well for me than I want it to.
It's certainly not to this degree, and at least in that the rooms had their own purposes and it was clear that things had happened in them or were happening in them. Like in this, like there is nothing. It is like just copy and paste, like brush. Yeah.
A lot of rooms where it just like it'd be a place like a sitting. It's like they took a room that is in funerals for mourning privately and just copy pasted it throughout an entire cruise ship.
Yeah.
You know,
it is zero fun to explore. Nothing that you're going to find is actually worth finding. Pretty much every pickup that you're going to get is under a body of somebody who hung themselves, themselves.
There's a lot of people have hung themselves.
Yeah.
The spark for me in this, the only thing that made me kind of like smile a bit is in the opening cutscenes and stuff, is that this is the first time you play as a very gentle Southerner in Resident Evil. So you get a lot of like, you know, like, I sure do hate Umbrella. It's kind of like Tree Trunks from Adventure Time, as a Resident Evil protagonist. It's like, I do hate zombies. When it comes down to Umbrella, I don't want that T-virus. Like your character talks, Bruce McGavin talks exactly like that. Like, I don't care for this cruise ship and it's full of zombies. It's very sweet.
I really wish that this Lady Fong Lin would be a little bit more genteel with me.
Gentle with me. I didn't mean to fuss and feud. I'm just trying to get to the center of this conspiracy. It's like that as a Resident Evil protagonist. And that to me made me smile.
It is. He is so soft-spoken and so Southern, but also the voice actor doesn't quite commit to it.
No.
So he sounds a little bit like an alien pretending to be an American.
Yes. It's a very, like a very low-key performance of like, what if Vince Gilligan was trapped in a Resident Evil thing. And it's an antidote to our Chris Redfields, and our hyper-masculine. And instead of replacing it with nothing, like, I wish Ethan Winters was like this. You know, Heisenberg, that seems extreme.
Why don't we pump the brakes here?
Mother Miranda doesn't seem that good to me, but I wouldn't call her a B-word. I would have appreciated that.
Hey man, there's no reason to degrade yourself by degrading others.
Yeah, that's a sex charged slur. That's a gender slur, Heisenberg. Like, I would really love that.
Might have been fine in middle school to say that, but so was eating Uncrustables. You don't want to do that now.
Nobody eats an Uncrustables, even though I surely would take one if you got an Uncrustable for me, Heisenberg.
I would not turn down your hospitality, but I would start asking some questions about your nutritionary customs.
Yeah, I understand they freeze well. You ever had them frozen? They're surprisingly good. I learned that during my Uncrustables weekend.
Uncrustables. Yeah, some people have a lost weekend.
Yeah.
Some mean you had an Uncrustables
weekend. People don't
keep
up with all my lore. I did have an Uncrustables weekend. And it was great, actually. Yeah. Me and Liv were both just like, this is good. Why this novelty food we got to make fun of? Why is this actually punking us by being tasty?
Yeah. I mean, at least in that theme, you still have Goober Grape to mess around with, you know, to spit on, to look down on.
Yeah, Goober Grape, America's favorite. Here's the thing I'm going to say about this, and you never think this about Resident Evil games, but I do think about this one. Too many zombies.
Yep.
There's just, you know, it has to be a light gun game where that level of engagement, you know, is pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. You just go in this hallway, there's like seven dudes, and it happens constantly. And like one of the things that is easy to forget about early Resident Evil games, not the case.
Yeah.
You know, like how many zombies are in the mansion in Resident Evil 1?
Less than 30. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, way less than 30, like 30 over both with the refresh.
Yeah.
You know, like it's probably like, you know, 25 over two visits.
Yeah.
You know, at most. And it's a bigger, you know, it's a huge space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Like keep it, you know, you keep it chill with that.
And again, this is working athwart itself, where it is a, you know, all of the shooting takes place in first person. If you move, it kicks you back out to third.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't just walk into a room and the zombies are, you know, kicking it around, at least not always. Most of the time, the zombies are lying on the ground, completely invisible because of the general gloom of the setting or what have you. So one gets up in front of you and you start shooting at them. And there is no way of knowing when something coming from directly behind you is going to go.
Yeah.
So that one you walked past is getting up and suddenly you're dealing with threats from all sides.
It's there's no reason to do it this way. There's a reason why, you know, rail shooters keep you on a rail and control what you can look at.
Well, yeah. You know,
There's a reason why first person games usually have a lot more mobility than this.
Yeah.
Like a first person game where you're going to have danger from all sides, you usually don't have to stop and shoot.
Yes.
Like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like a light gun game, or, you know, a game that is requiring you to be in somewhat of a light gun mindset, having limited ammo and forcing you into a survival horror kind of pickup economy sucks. That is not good.
No, it makes no sense as a product.
Yeah.
I don't, like, Capcom is such an interesting company, you know, because, like, they've been doing good work lately, undeniably. Like, the last, like, several Resident Evil games have been very good. Historically, there's a lot of just throwing darts randomly shit that they've done. Like, just absolutely, like, a dog that's caught a car and has no idea what to do with it. nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of it, and sometimes there's virtuous experiments too, like the Outbreak games. Like I don't like playing those very much, but I think that they're interesting ideas.
It's an admirable concept at the very least.
Yeah. This just isn't. I don't think this is an admirable concept. This should not have been. This fails the third test of like, was this worth doing?
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Weird. No. So this was made by Caveat, which is understandable. I didn't realize Caveat also did the Umbrella Chronicles and the Dark Side Chronicles,
which those are fun.
Yeah, those are good. So, my only complaint about those is get like trigger fatigue, like weird, like the Wii remote is not ergonomic for doing that pulling motion over and over again.
I think that happens with light gun games as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like every time I've gone to an arcade, they have free play set up, and I'm like, oh, cool, I'm going to beat House of the Dead. I end up like holding the gun with my right hand and pulling the trigger with my left.
Yep.
By the end, it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to, like, it just, it hurts.
Yeah.
You know.
And we haven't even talked about the story of this and the villain.
Yeah. It's all pretty, it's different tone.
Yeah.
Resident Evil. It's very personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The main villain's name is Morpheus D. Duval. And my question for you is it 1999 before the Matrix released, you can name your character Morpheus? Is it 2003 when this was put out? You cannot name your character Morpheus.
Yeah. I give a tiny pass to Deus Ex because they were in development at the same time.
Yes.
You know, for having an AI, you know, having the character named Morpheus. But if this they had time. Change it. Morpheus D. Duval. You know, who is going to, on a ship, he's gonna send nuclear weapons loaded with a T virus.
Yes.
From an undisclosed silo, unless the United States and China agree to a $5 billion ransom.
Yes. And what he wants to do is set up outer heaven, but for beautiful people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which somehow doesn't include Bruce McGovern. Or McGavin or whatever, who you know, seems like a hunk.
I don't know. He's got a little bit of a strange face.
Cover, he does. In the game, I think he looks like he's like a True Blood.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like he could be one of the Winchesters from supernatural to me.
But Morpheus in the opening cutscene suffers an injury from a grenade thrown by a Chinese agent who's also here to stop him and has to inject himself. And this is where things get a little strange. Injects himself with something called the TG virus.
T plus G.
Yes. Yeah. So T virus and G virus put together, which puts him through a transformation that makes him very feminine. Like, he ends up with boobs and with like high heel feet, kind of going from that.
And this whole thing smacks of gender.
Somebody knew exactly what they are doing, because injecting yourself with the TG virus is some real literotica shit.
It's very literotica. It's very coded in a weird, you know, in a way that, like, you know, whenever we talk about stuff like this, I don't want, if anyone ever felt a genuine representation from Resident Evil Dead Aim.
Yeah, I got
idea. Because of Morpheus Duvall. I don't want to take that away from you. I feel like it's unlikely.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. It's like, just... if Morpheus is on a gender journey, I don't want to take that away.
I don't want to take their gender journey away.
I, you know, that's not that. It's very strange in a Resident Evil context.
Yeah.
You know, this entire thing about being turned into a series of like weird soup, you know, monsters and stuff. Uh-huh. And this is just like, if you combine them, it's a forced feminization pill.
Yeah. This AO3 fiction mania ass concept that they rolled into one of the biggest franchises in the entire world.
It's almost like they knew no one would play it.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, we could do whatever we want this one. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. Like, like, what if you know, like, Ada Wong was popular.
Yeah.
You know, what if we have Fong Ling, the Chinese super spy, who shows up with our guy Whitey shoot good.
And Ada Wong, also Chinese super spy.
Yeah. It's a, you know, we just have another one.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh man.
Ludicrous.
A ludicrous game.
Yeah. And not, you know, super fun. Even though I think this is more fun than the PlayStation one, because I can set it up to control it with a mouse.
True.
And that makes a big difference. You know, you can actually aim. It's really hard on the controller with this, before I did that, because zombies sway.
Yes.
And your moving reticle is the most sensitive thing in the world. So you will just miss nonstop. Yeah. And ammo is a concern. It's got survival horror rhythms, even if it's not strictly a survival horror game.
Yeah.
So, fucking caveat.
Get your shit together.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have not checked to see if this is still considered to be in canon. Because I know that the first Gun Survivor is like the idea that like that is actually pulled and represented in the Resident Evil 3 remake. Is the, you know, torturing orphans to get the brain serum to make tyrants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. According to random internet commenters, it is canon.
Oh.
But these are just people.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? this person, Sai, nobody's giving you a real answer. Here are the list of canon entries. And they have it listed. The only things they have is non-canon are Degeneration, Damnation, Vendetta, the movies, the Mahara Desire, and Heavenly Island manga, and the stage show.
They're basically saying
every game is canon.
Those movies are supposed to be interquels. I thought that those were actually canon.
I thought so too. The CGI, the unwatchable bad CGI. I'm just really interested in Resident Evil the stage now.
Oh yeah.
Like, we gotta find a version of that for adaptation decay, like watch a Resident Evil play.
But it would have to, I mean, there would have to be subtitles, because I guarantee you that was only put on in Japan.
Yeah. A later release in DVD format in the 2016. We might be able to find a translation of Resident Evil, the stage.
Okay.
It's got all of our favorites in it. It's got Chris Redfield, Piers Niven's, you know?
Oh, it's on YouTube. Resident Evil, the stage, English sub. It's 2 hours and 13 minutes. Yeah.
Dude. We got an adaptation decay emergency there. How horrible will a Resident Evil play be? Ooh. Is it a musical?
Oh God, I hope so.
It is. It's a, the first was unrelated to Bio-Raid Year Zero, which is a 2000 musical comedy.
Huh.
So it's not that. But it seems serious. I wonder if, and this is not canon, sadly.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a shame. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can still watch it anyway, even if it's not canon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you can. I think they might come for you, man.
Just people rappel through my window.
The stage plays are canon with the exception of the 2000s comedy play Bioroid. Apparently there's 4 comedy plays or stage plays of Resident Evil.
Wow. Weird. Biohazard stage plays canon? Oh yeah, no, I'm on the same page. Somebody asked that on Reddit. And Gadget, Resident Evil the play is better than I expected.
We watched all of the Resident Evil plays, so you wouldn't have to. There's an article on Fanbyte. I know this will go poorly, but I'm willing to do it for you.
Do we want to do that for November's adaptation?
I don't see why not. That's funny. Resident Evil gets a lot of shit. A lot of things coming out, which is good. I love Resident Evil, but boy,
I'm looking at the poster, and it is very funny how you can just immediately identify who is supposed to be who, even though, I mean, the characters are white, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, that's Leon there. Like Japanese actor, Chris, identifiably Chris, they did a very good job.
Yeah. Good work.
Good job. Yeah. I'm actually kind of excited to watch this.
I'm very curious. We haven't done a play before.
Yeah.
There's that Pokemon stage play. we could do that at some point. That's going to be Babytown Prolix. This at the very least might be silly in a funny way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it, man. Let's do it. It's on YouTube with subs.
Here's a thing that's weird about this game specifically. Well reviewed on GameFAQs.
Weird.
7 and 8s are the most common, but there are no shortage of 9s and 10s, mm-hmm. and not very many 6 to 3s. There's 1 3. There's only one red review on this whole thing.
I mean, that just has to be franchise poisoning, right?
Judging on the curve of previous Resident Evil first person shooting games, I think.
Yeah,
because as much as Survivor is not like a war crime,
mm-hmm.
or anything, it's not good.
No.
Like it's not a good game. It's just your completionist only, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so I was gonna say, CVX freak, what are you doing? A surprisingly satisfying experience in a series which is usually unsatisfying. I was like, hey CVX freak, why are you negging RE? That's your whole thing.
Veronica X freak. you're a freak over one of the worst games in the series.
They're talking specifically about Survivor, so I can cancel CVX freak.
Yeah.
Well, no, I would be, it'd be weird.
It'd be real weird. It'd be a real heel turn.
Yeah.
People don't tend to plan those kind of villain turns on GameFAQs.
No.
They spend like their entire life being like, I love Resident Evil, and then be like, ha ha, I don't.
usually for that kind of turn, the stakes have to be just a skosh higher.
Yes. Yeah. And people have to see it.
Yes.
You know, because other than us.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, just if you walk up to, I would say at least 4 out of 5 people on the street do not know who CVX Freak is.
Yes. I would say, I might put it closer to, 3 or 4. It's not that bad. Most people know about CVX Freak, but.
Okay. Do it at PRG. Ask people if they know who CVX Freak is.
Oh, man.
And only at PRG.
Yes. Yeah. In the last episode we recorded, we were fucking around with AI for
for sitcom pitches, reboot purposes,
sitcom pitches and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna ask it right now, what would Newman and Seinfeld do in a Resident Evil situation? And just see what happens here. It's not known for being particularly heroic or resourceful. In a Resident Evil situation where he'd be faced by zombies, it's likely he would not fare well. His comically lazy and self-serving personality would probably hinder his ability to survive. Here is a humorous speculation. Attempt to bargain with the zombies. Okay. Sounds right. Yeah. Delivering them packages of expired food as a peace offering. creating a black market for supplies.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Form a conspiracy theory. Newman might come up with elaborate conspiracy theories about the origins of the outbreak. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hoard snacks. Yep. Seek refuge in the mailroom.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, yeah.
That does sound like something Newman might do in this situation.
A full third of those are fat jokes. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, thanks, AI. What would Newman do if he was a member of the STARS program? Newman from Seinfeld is a member of the STARS program, Special Tactics and Resistance. Okay, good.
Cool.
Complain about uniforms, obsess over office supplies, hoard snacks. Yeah, okay.
Well, man, conspiracy about theories. Yeah. This motherfucker loves snacks.
He does love snacks. Good God.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. God, now I just want to keep on asking, like, AI.
It's weirdly compelling.
What would happen to Newman if he got jigsawed?
To Newman if he got jigsawed. Now, let's see if it recognizes what's going on. Placed in a deadly and morally challenging scenario orchestrated by the character Jigsaw. Obscure postal puzzles, unconventional choices, comedic panic,
okay,
absurd solutions, bizarre twist.
Of course.
Well, here, let me pitch me a jigsaw trap for Newman from Seinfeld. Jigsaw trap. Trap, the postal dilemma. Setup. Newman finds himself in a dimly lit room surrounded by a collection of mail-related items like mailboxes, stamps, envelopes, and packages. He's strapped to a chair with a timer counting down. On the other side of the room, there's a large, ornate envelope hanging from the ceiling. Challenge. Jigsaw's puppet, a life-size cutout of a postal worker, appears on the screen and delivers the challenge to Newman.
Jigsaw's famous puppet, the life-size cutout of a postal worker.
He's told that his life depends on his deep knowledge of the postal procedures and his ability to make choices, rules. Inside the hanging envelope is a letter addressed to a fictitious address. Newman must decipher the cryptic clues on the envelope to find the correct address. Once he has the address, he chooses the package from a selection of identical-looking packages that contains the crucial mail. Finally, he must correctly weigh the package using a nearby vintage postal scale. The weight is within a narrow margin of error, so he can stop the timer. If Newman fails to decipher the address, chooses the wrong package, or incorrectly weighs it, the timer continues to count down. If the timer reaches zero, a mail sorter mechanism activates, flinging an avalanche of junk mail and packages into him. The room will become cluttered and chaotic, which ultimately results in his demise. Twist, unbeknownst to Newman, the envelope contains a message that could lead him to the key to unlock his restraints. The choice to deliver the letter or open the envelope to find the key is a moral dilemma that plays on his commitment to his postal duties.
That's so good. I was thinking, you know what, this is really dumb, but they had to bring in the twist.
Yeah,
they had to
good.
They had to bring in the jigsaw gotcha.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You have everything you need to escape, but yeah, you must ask, do you have
are you willing to?
Yeah,
you know. Yeah.
Will you undermine your code you have taken as a mailman to save your own life?
All right, Niall Crane, the elegances dilemma. Niles Crane wakes up in an ornate, tastefully decorated room, high-end drawing room of Victorian era. He's wearing an impeccably tailored suit. He's bound to a luxurious chair, a timer. A puppet of Jigsaw appears on an antique TV. Jigsaw explains that Niles must prove his ability to appreciate the finer things in life through a series of challenges. A beautifully adorned table in the room displays dishes with exotic, unusual foods,
okay,
some of which are unappetizing. Niles must select and savor the elegant delicacies, demonstrating his taste. Presented with a collection of art prints, some genuine and some forgeries, he has to identify the real ones.
Oh.
He must solve a series of puzzles that require his refined problem-solving skills and knowledge of classical literature and music. Uh-huh. The final task involves selecting the most exquisite piece of jewelry and highlighting his knowledge of gemology. If he makes an incorrect choice, the timer counts down. If it reaches zero, the room's decor, which is held up by wires and strings, collapses, potentially injuring or trapping him. The twist, the ultimate test for Niles is not just his appreciation of the finer things in life, but his ability to embrace humility. At the end of the trap, he's presented with a simple, unadorned key. He can choose to free himself with it, symbolizing a move away from obsession, sophistication, and pretentiousness.
Okay. I gotta say, the stakes are not high enough in that one.
No, like, yeah, the things on the wall might fall down.
Right.
Yeah, that one's not very good.
And also, like, it jigsaw tests are not about testing your knowledge. Like, they're about forcing you to make a sacrifice, or at the very least do something incredibly unpleasant in order to. So like, he would have to, you know, are you willing to eat your weight in McDoubles to escape this room? Inside one is the key, but remember, the key is inside you already. You know?
Exactly. Like, can you shit out of McDouble? You know, and just like, what?
Yeah. God, this might be a game I play all day. Is asking ChatGPT to jigsaw various characters from fiction.
It's weirdly fun. It's not. Again, I don't want to hand it to AI. Hate AI. Uh-huh. You know, I think it's going to damage the world. I think this part's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks everyone for listening. We appreciate you.
Yeah. If you would like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, kick us a few bucks, and get bonus episodes of this show and other shows.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate it. You can also leave ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, or wherever you get podcasts, and you can tell your friends, and you can listen to all the other shows.
Yeah. Huge thanks to Gwen, our producer, who helps us put out these shows. Really appreciate her work. Thanks, Gwen.
Yeah, thank you, Gwen. Until next time, what can they do?
Well, until next time, when the going gets tough, we blame each other.